Jesus in Mark had never heard that anthem. If you've ever looked at the whole of the book of Mark, you know it's short, but Jesus runs at a breakneck pace. There's no birth narrative in Mark. He's born, he's grown, and verse 4, he's in the midst of his ministry. And by chapter 3, he's calling his disciples. He says to a large crowd, come join me up on this mountain. We do not know how many people followed him, but we know how many he called. He called 12. He called Peter and James and John. He called Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, Thaddeus, James, Simon, and Judas. That's chapter 3. Next in chapter 3, he begins to teach them. He teaches them about the power of a mustard seed. He teaches them about being the light of the world and not putting it under a bushel basket, but setting it up on a stand so that all might see. He teaches them about the power of the sower. Don't worry about what grows up. Just cast your seed, for God will bring the increase. He teaches them. And then in chapter 4, he stills a storm and he begins to heal people. He heals Jairus' daughter. He heals a woman with an issue of blood. He heals somebody we call the Gerasene demoniac, the one who is left and put out by his people in the tombs. So strong is this man, chains can't hold him. He is at this breakneck pace. Chapter 3, he calls them, 4 and 5, all this goes on, and by the time we get to chapter 6, he begins to say to them, now you must do what I have done. I'm going to appoint you, I'm going to anoint you, and I'm going to send you out to cast out demons and heal the sick and do many things of great power and wonder. 3 chapters. He has never heard this anthem. And they go out. The 12 that he just called, they go out, and while they're gone, Herod and Herodias and her daughter have that little dancing event which culminates in John the Baptist's head on a platter. By the time the disciples get back, they hear this story of John. And if your Bibles were open, you would see that there's something really misleading in the 6th chapter. They come back, John is dead, and the next section of Scripture is labeled the feeding of the 5,000. But there's something that happens before the thousands are fed. You heard Susan read it. Jesus says, come away. Come with me. A high mountain in the desert where no one will follow us. Come away. The text says there were so many people coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. Despite that breakneck speed, Jesus does know that his followers need to be still. He does know. And he uses a word that is just really interesting. In the Greek, it's anapao. It means come away and cease from any movement or labor so that you might recover and collect your strength. Come away so that you might be still enough to gather up the pieces of you that you've left as you've been running around stilling storms and healing people. Come away and be refreshed. Come away and give yourself permission to be quiet and take your rest. All of that, anapao, come away and be still. He's saying the same thing to you and to me today. And he's not the only one who said it. We are in the midst of working with the desert mothers and fathers, and Amma Theodora said to her flock that stillness refreshes the soul and cleanses the mind. She invited her people to come away and be still. We can read the sign all day long, but we live in a culture that says, no, 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 no. Being still is lazy. If you sit around and daydream, you are not doing something you could do. Have you ever said that to somebody? Raise your hand. Has it ever been said to you? Raise your hand. This culture, this place, this way we live is this rapid fire production. It's this desire to keep doing. And often we keep doing because we think others are going to judge us. Often we won't be still because we're worried about our reputation. Often we won't be still because we're just like him.
Why do we work so hard? For what? For this? For stuff? Other countries, they work, they stroll home, they stop by the cafe, they take August off. Off. Why aren't you like that? Why aren't we like that? Because we're crazy, driven, hard-working believers, that's why. Those other countries think we're nuts. Whatever. Were the Wright brothers insane? Bill Gates, Les Paul, Ali. Were we nuts when we pointed to the moon? That's right. We went up there, you know what we got? Bored. So we left. Got a car up there, left the keys in it. Do you know why? Because we're the only ones going back up there, that's why. But I digress. It's pretty simple. You work hard, you create your own luck, and you gotta believe anything is possible. As for all the stuff, that's the upside of only taking 2 weeks off in August. Nespa?
We will not be still because we've bought the cultural understanding that our activity produces and we get stuff. Our activity produces and we are rewarded. Our activity produces and that's how we gain our reputation. Our activity produces and that's how we get known. We bought it. We've swallowed the Kool-Aid. And that's only a Cadillac. At least it could have been a Porsche. Jesus said to the disciples, come away, be still. He knew what was in front of them. He knew they were going to have the task of speaking truth to power that did not want to hear it. He knew that they were going to be disappointed and they were going to disappoint each other. He knew that they were going to face legions of people who did not want to hear the good news that everybody is worthy and everybody is stands before God as in God's image and likeness. He knew they were going to face circumstances that pushed back at them and pushed them down and tried to deny them the role that they were called to fill. He knew it and he said, before you do that, anapa'au, rest. Be still. But we think we're smarter than God. We think we don't have to rest. You've heard me say before, overwork is the only addiction we prize in our nation. I only need 3 hours of sleep. We won't rest because we really do believe our production is necessary to the ongoing nature of humankind. We won't rest because we think we're in control. But you and I can't make our hearts beat. We can't make our lungs expand. We can't make our minds think, our colons digest, or blood run warm through our veins. We're not in control. Amma Theodora knew we needed to rest. And even the Mind Body Institute at Harvard knows we need to rest. You can Google the Mind Body Institute and you'll see this fabulous report from February 2011 where it taught that eight weeks of meditation changed one's alpha rhythm, changed the way one's body reacts to stress, reacts to pain, reacts to anxiety, reacts to worry. Our bodies need to rest. But if you heard that piece that Susan read from Isaiah, the very last line was, but they would have none of it. God was telling God's people in Isaiah's time, you can rest from worry. You can rest from anxiety because I am your God. I will hold you up with my powerful right hand. God was saying to them, don't run to Pharaoh. Don't run to get help in other places. Come to me. Let me show you how to rest. And then you don't have to carry that worry and carry that anxiety. But you heard the last line, they would have none of it. God says to us, please be still. Please just take a few minutes each day to do nothing. And don't let your wife or your husband tell you it's wrong. Don't let the sound of your mother's voice in the back of your head saying, get up off your rusty dusty and do something. That was my mother's voice, by the way. But honor what God is saying and be still. How? There's a book. It was printed in 2003. It's called The Joy Diet. I couldn't find my copy because I was going to break copyright rules and make a copy of the first chapter for you. If I find it, I'll do so. Martha Beck is her name, The Joy Diet. The first chapter of that book is Do Nothing. And her premise is that we need to take vacations, but we need to take them every day. And the word vacation comes from vacatio, which means leisure and freedom and exemption, being free from duty, immunity earned by service. Beck says, take a vacation of 15 minutes every single day. Vacate the space that demands your attention. Vacate those people that will relentlessly come after you. Vacate the places where somebody knows your name. That Starbucks that you've never been to, where no one will know you. The shore of a river in this kind of weather, a rock by Lake Michigan, wherever it is that nobody will bother you. 15 minutes a day, it can simply be in the interior spaces of your mind. You've earned it. And then use your thoughts like a ticker tape. Just let them run across the bottom of the screen. Because it's really hard to stop them. But if you let them run and just notice them, but don't deal with them. And finally, understand that you are worth it. 15 minutes. Amen.